All right, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksuvas daf Chaf Zayin. We left off Chaf Vav Mabez. A couple of lines up from the bottom, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom is where we're going to start from Masiv, which is the first word on the line. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. Also, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Mayor Neshama Evan Aliyah. We thank Dr. Landerer and his family very much for his sponsorship and continued support of the shiur. Today, we are going to talk about primarily two topics. The first topic is a continuation of what we started discussing yesterday, which is whether a woman who is imprisoned at the hands of Akum, at the hands of Goyim, is considered to have been defiled, or if she is considered to not have been defiled. In other words, is she mutter to her husband or not? Do we assume that the Nachram had relations with her in prison or not? What we had said yesterday was that it depended whether, or what we had said in the Mishnah rather, was that it depended whether she was held on a monetary issue or if she was held on a capital issue. That if she was held for a monetary issue, if she was jailed simply because, let's say, she owed people money, then the Goyim would not risk repayment of the loan by taking advantage of the woman while she was in jail and having relations with her. Whereas if she were held for a capital issue, and we'll see in the Gemara what exactly the capital issue was, then they would be much more free with her. They would be much more hefker with her, and therefore we would have to worry that they would take advantage of her. Then yesterday we introduced that only is the only time we make a distinction between monetary issues and capital issues is when the Jewish government is more strong than the non-Jewish government, meaning that even though she's held in a non-Jewish jail, that generally speaking, the Jewish government runs the show, and therefore the Goyim would be afraid of taking advantage of women in an inappropriate fashion. However, if the Goyim are really in control, if the Akum are really in control, then the halacha that was brought down in the Mishnah wouldn't necessarily be the case. So first we're going to talk about that. We're going to juxtapose the case of a woman who is in jail with a woman who pledged herself as collateral to secure a loan. And we're going to see whether that situation is at all different. We're going to talk about what it means that she was held al yedei nefashos, in which case the woman is believed to have been defiled. We assume the woman was defiled. The Mishnah in the middle of Chav Zayin Amid Aleph is going to talk about what happens if there's an entire city that was taken under siege by an army. What do we assume about the women in that city? Do we assume that all the women in the city were defiled or not? And then we're going to talk about what if there's a hiding place in the city. Now, how big is the hiding place? Is the hiding place big enough to accommodate all the women in the city? Is the hiding place only big enough to accommodate one woman? Do we assume that all of the women were in the hiding place? Do we make that assumption even if they don't claim that they were in the hiding place? So we're going to talk all about that. Then we're going to talk about who exactly is believed in order to testify as to the woman. Let's say, for example, if she wants to say that she was in a hiding place or that she wasn't in a hiding place, but she was not taken advantage of, and therefore she wants to claim that she is mutter to her husband or to a kohen, whose testimony are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the testimony of her shifcha? Because we had said that by shvuya, this already we've seen a couple of times, that by shvuya, an eid echad is going to be believed. That's one of the kulos that we adopt by shvuya. Even the testimony of those who are ordinarily ineligible to testify is going to be accepted for the purpose of shvuya. However, what about her maidservant? What about her shifcha? Are we afraid that her shifcha is going to testify untruthfully and her shifcha is going to testify falsely in order to curry favor with her just because she wants to do what's right by her master? Or do we say no, that a shifcha, even though she has an allegiance to her master, is not going to actually come and affirmatively testify falsely? Whereas they might withhold testimony if they know of testimony, and withholding testimony might be beneficial to their master, they might withhold testimony, but they wouldn't actually take the next step. They wouldn't actually take the initiative and affirmatively testify in a false manner. So we'll see all that. Hopefully we'll get to that. It's all the way at the end of today's daf, which is a bit longer than previous dafim. So let's get going. Says the Gemara, again, 7 lines up from the bottom, Chav Vav Amud Beis. So Masiv Rava, Heyed Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav were made al Bas Yisrael, Sher Hurhuna Ba'ashkelon. that she pledged herself as collateral to Akum to secure a loan in Ashkelon, v'richikua b'nei mishpachta. And they all distanced themselves from her. In other words, she was a kohenes. Everybody in her family were kohanim because she pledged herself as security for a loan. They all assumed that the guy was free with her, and the guy violated her, and therefore they distanced themselves from her. However, she had Edim who said, don't worry, even though she pledged herself as collateral for a loan, she never had yichud with these gayim. She was never defiled by these gayim. Ramalem chachamim, and the chachamim said to Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, im atem aminim shehurana, if you believe her that she pledged herself as collateral to the gayim, which she, you only know that because she told you that she did that, then aminu shalonistrava shalonitma. Then you should also believe the Eidos, that even though she did pledge herself as collateral to the Gayim to secure the loan, she never had Yichud, and she was never defiled. And conversely, if you're not going to accept the testimony that she was never had Yichud with these people, and that she was never defiled by these people, then also don't believe that she ever pledged herself as collateral. So they're saying, why are you sort of splitting what you believe? You're believing her that she pledged herself as collateral, but then you're unwilling to accept all of the other exonerating testimony. If you're going to believe her with everything. If you're not going to believe her, don't believe her with anything. So either believe her that she was pledged, but she wasn't defiled, or believe that she wasn't defiled, or if you're going to say that she was defiled, then don't say that she was pledged. So why are we splitting what we're believing? Says the Gemara, but forgetting about the twisted psak of Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatz and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, because it seemed to be contradictory. V'ha Ashkelon diyad ovdi kachavim takifa latzman. But Ashkelon was a situation where the Yad of the Kachavim were Takifa Latzma, meaning they were governed, self-governed by the Gayim, and that the overall governance, the overarching governance, wasn't imposed by the Jewish people. The Katani, however, what we say is Hurhana, that this was only, the only reason why the family distanced themselves from her is because she pledged herself as collateral to secure a loan. Nichbisha lo. However, if she was put in jail, then it would not have been the case. Meaning, the only reason why we require Edim, that she was not miyached, that she never had bia, that she was never defiled, is because she had pledged herself as collateral. Were it not for the fact that she pledged herself as collateral, were it only that she were in jail for a monetary reason, on a monetary charge, then we would have believed her when she said that she never was defiled in jail, even without the Edim. That's the way Rashi explains here, and he explains that the difference between Horhana, pledging oneself as collateral, and being in jail is simply as follows. That if she pledges herself as collateral to secure a loan, and the time for repayment of the loan comes and goes, then the guy will assume that the woman is actually her property. So what do you think the guy's going to do with a woman that he thinks is her property? He's obviously going to defile her. Therefore, in order to prove that she wasn't defiled, we're actually going to need Edim. However, when she's simply jailed on a monetary charge, where it's not that clear-cut that the woman is actually guilty, it's not that clear-cut that she actually owes anything to the Goyim are not going to be free, and they're not going to violate her. And this apparently is the case even where the Goyim control. So why did the Gemara yesterday tell me that the Halach and the Mishnah, that if she's held in a monetary charge, we don't assume that she was defiled is only where the Jewish people control, but where the Goyim control, we think they defile her all the time? From this Gemara, it's mashma that even when the Goyim control, if she's only jailed on a monetary charge, we're not going to assume that she was violated. Says the Gemara, no, that's a bad assumption. Hu adin afilu nechbasha. Even if she was jailed, the only way we would believe her is if she had Edim, because without Edim, we wouldn't believe her. Why? Because Yad of the Kachavim is Takifa, because the Goyim are in control in Ashkelon. However, Why do we then talk about a case where the woman pledged herself as collateral? Why don't we talk about a case where the woman was jailed? Maisa Shoya Kachaya, because the Maisa with Rav Yossi HaKoin and Zecharia ben Akatsav happened to have been with a woman who was pledged as collateral and not a woman who was jailed. So Ikadamri and others learn it like this, two lines down. So Amar Rava Afanar Nami Tanina, Heyed Rav Yossi HaKoin, Rav Zecharia ben Akatsav, Al Bas Yisrael, Shahur and Al Bas Kolon, they were made on Al Bas Yisrael, who was pledged as collateral in Ashkelon, Rechikua b'nei Mishpachta, and her family distanced themselves. The family of Kohanim distanced themselves from her because they assumed that she was violated. Ve'edim edim aleha shalon isra v'shalon itmat. She has edim who said that she never had yichud and she was never defiled. V'yamru chachamim, and the chachamim said, ematem me'inim shorana, if you believe that she was pledged as collateral, then aminu shalon isra v'shalon itmat, then believe the edim. And if you don't believe the Edim, so don't also accept the fact, also don't accept the fact that she was pledged as collateral. So again, the Chachamim are arguing on the seemingly contradictory psak of Rav Yossi HaKoin and Zecharia ben Akatsav. Ashkelon, Dal Yedei Mamonu, and the Kasha is not that Ashkelon is controlled by Goyim. But the problem is that Ashkelon, she was held only, that Ashkelon was a monetary issue. What does it mean it was a monetary issue? She was never jailed. True, she was never jailed, but the reason that we were afraid the Goyim may have violated her is because she pledged herself as collateral for a loan. That's obviously a monetary issue, and that's similar to one who was jailed on because she is claimed to have owed somebody money. So Ashkelon is a monetary issue, and V'tayma de'edim e'idimosa. The only reason why we would believe that she didn't have yichud and that she wasn't defiled is because there are edim who support her. Ha ein edim yinosa lo. But if there are no edim, then we wouldn't believe her. So my lav, loshna horana, veloshna nichpesha, and can't we deduce that it doesn't make a difference whether she was pledged as collateral? It doesn't make a difference whether she was jailed on a monetary issue. The halacha is the same, that we would only believe her if there were edim that testify that she didn't have yichud and that she wasn't defiled, which is against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that we assume that if she was held in jail on a monetary issue, we don't have to assume that she was defiled. Whereas over here in the Brice, that's mashma, the only reason we can assume that she wasn't defiled is because there are edim that say that. Says the Gemara, lo, hura nashani. No, that case is different, because by Yamashko, and again, at the time that the loan comes due and it hasn't been repaid, they mamish treat her like their property. And because they mamish treat her like their property, of course they're going to be more free with this woman than they would be with a woman who's jailed on a monetary issue. And finally, for the third time, in case you didn't get it the first two times, Ika Dharami La Mirma. Some ask it as a question, but it's the same Shak Levitarya. Tanan. Al Yedei Mamon Muteris Labaila. If she was held, this is our mission again, if she was held captive for monetary issues, she's mutter to her husband. Vramini, but we ask Akasha, hey, Rabbi Yossi, and with the old Maisa with Rabbi Yossi and Zecharia ben Akatsav, and the only reason we believe her is because there were Edim, Va'ashkelon, Al Yedei Mamon, Victani Taimed, the Edim Edimosa, Han Edim Edimosa Lo, but if there were no Edim, we wouldn't believe her. Our Mishnah says if she was held on a monetary issue, she's assumed to not have been defiled. How come in the Braisa, the only reason we believe that she wasn't defiled is because there were Edim? Umeshani, Amarav Shmuel, Barav Yitzchak Lo Kasha, Kanshi Yad Yisrael Tekifa Lo Avdi Kachavim, Kanshi Yad Avdi Kachavim Tekifa Latzman. Ah, so this is the distinction that we brought down in the Gemara yesterday. The reason that in our Mishnah, if she's held on a monetary charge, we assume she wasn't defiled is because in our Mishnah, we're talking about a situation where the Jewish government controls. And where the Jewish government controls, we're not afraid that they're going to defile the woman if she's held on a monetary charge. Ashkelon is a situation where the Akum controlled, and where the Akum controlled, the Halacha and the Mishnah doesn't apply. Because we are afraid that they're going to defile her, even if she's held on a monetary charge, when the Goyim are actually self-governing, when the Goyim actually control. Okay, at the two dots, shortly before the Mishnah, so we had said in the Mishnah, before all of the complications of the Gemara today, that if she's held on a monetary charge, we're going to assume that she was not defiled. But if she was held on a capital charge, we're going to assume that they did take advantage of her. So al yedei nefashos asura. So Amarav could go in the Shei Ganvi. It's like the wives of Ganavim, Rashi explains, because their husbands were hanged, and the derech of the Malchus was that therefore they would be mafkir their property and their houses and their wives. And so if they're being mafkir their property and their houses and their wives, then we assume that they're going to have defiled the women. So the wives of thieves. And Amar, so the Levi Amar, whoever Levi says, Kigon Ishto Shel Ben Duna. No, it's like the wife of Ben Duna, who was a murderer. And Rashi says that Rotzeach Haya VeElazar Shmo, Elazar was his name. Kedat Amin Rapelak Perak Egla Rufa Alvin Hashay the Ganvi Agon VeMamal No Mafkari. No, I mean the Goyim aren't that lawless. They're simply, if there's a woman who's the wife of a thief, they're not going to go behead all thieves and hang them and be mafkir all of their property. It's only the wife of a murderer where they're actually going to kill the murderer that we're afraid that they're going to mafkir her and that they're going to violate her. And says the Gemara, further qualification, Amar Chizki Avusha Nigmar Din La'ariga. That's only if they sentence her husband to capital punishment. It's only at that point that they're going to be free with his wife. Rav Yochanan Amar Afal Pi Shelo Nigmar Din La'ariga. No, even if they didn't seal the deal, even if they didn't seal the din, and declare that the husband was going to be put to death, but even if he was simply on trial for a capital crime, if he was a murderer and he was standing for capital punishment, we're afraid that they're going to treat the wife of this defendant with hefkeiros, and therefore we're going to assume that she was actually violated. Okay, ad kan the Gemara. Now we have the next Mishnah about the city that was taken under siege. So ir shekavshua karkum. So we have a city which was taken under siege by an army. Kol kohenes shenimtzu besocha psula. Any psulos, any kohenes which is found in the city is going to be pasul. Meaning, as said, the Ritva explains, even if they're already married, psulos doesn't only mean pasul lukahuna. Psulos, according to the Ritva, means even if they're already currently married, psulos means asuros, that it means that they're usur to remain with their husbands. In other words, we'll recall the halacha that a kohen is not allowed to remain with a woman who had bia, even if she was violated. Unlike by Yisrael is allowed to remain with a woman if she was violated. A kohen is not allowed to remain with a woman even if she was violated. All of these women who were in this city that was sieged by the army, that was under siege by the army, we assume that these soldiers had bia with all of these women, and therefore psulos, the Ritva explains, asuros lekohen. They're asuros lekohen. They have to get divorced even if they were already married. Vim yesh la'edim. However, if they have edim that they weren't defiled, afilu eved, afilu shivcha, even an eved or a shivcha, somebody who's not kasher la'edis generally, but who are meyed over here that these people weren't defiled, are'elu nemanim, then they are going to be believed. And this is one of the kulos by Shvuya, that we're going to accept Eid Echad, and not only are we going to accept Eid Echad, we're going to accept the testimony even of people who ordinarily are pasul la'edis. The reason that we're so lax By Shvuya Kilo is because we assume that some women who are held captive, for example, all of these women in the city who are under siege, are not really going to go out of their way to make themselves up and make themselves look pretty in order to entice the soldiers. In fact, just the opposite. They're going to go to great lengths to make sure that they're menavil themselves, to make sure that they look all disheveled and very unappealing. And therefore, the fact that the automatic behavior, the instinctive behavior of the women is that they're going to do everything within their power to make sure that they're unappealing, combined with the testimony of this Eved or the Shivcha, we're going to believe that testimony that the woman was not defiled. However, Ve'ein Neman Adam Al Yedei Asmo, the Mishnah concludes, even though an Eved or a Shivcha is believed to testify that the person was defiled, if all we have was this woman saying that she wasn't defiled, then she is not going to be believed. And the reason that she's not going to be believed, this ties back to the concept that we started the perek with of a pesha asar. The only time we're going to believe a person to make a claim about themselves personally is when we have a pesha asar, is when the only reason we would have known to asar her is because of her, and therefore she's believed to explain why she's mutter as well. Over here, we know that she's asar not because of anything that she claims, but rather because the city was taken under siege. And we know that. And therefore, if she only comes with her own testimony that she wasn't defiled, that's not going to be enough, even though we generally relax our standards by Shvuya. So the assumption over here that the Gemara is going to start with is that if a city is under siege, then all of the women are considered to be pasul. They're all usur to Kohanim, because we assume that the soldiers are going to go maraud around and that they're going to defile every woman in sight. But that assumes that these soldiers are having the time to go have relations with all the women in the city, but that's not really the case, or shouldn't be the case. It says the Gemara of Raminu, Belesha Shabalir, if you have a troop that comes to a city, Bishash Shalom, and it's a time of peace, and Chavios Psuchos Asuros, if there are open barrels of wine, they're going to be usur because we're afraid that the Goyish soldiers would have come and they might have been Menasech the wine. However, Stumos Mutaros, if there are sealed barrels of wine, then they're going to be mutter because the barrel is sealed. It's like a closed bottle of wine. You're not afraid of anything. B'shas Melchama, however, if it's a time of war, Eilu ve'eilu mutaros, then they're both going to be mutter. Why? Even the open barrel of wine, Lefisha ein penai lenasech, because they don't have time to be menasech le'ayin, because the soldiers aren't there in order to cast the spell on the wine of the Jewish people. The soldiers are there to fight, and therefore they're only going to be focused on fighting. They're not going to be focused on doing anything else. So if the soldiers are even too busy to be menasech a barrel of wine, so what do we assume? The city is under siege by soldiers. The soldiers are obviously there to maraud the city, and we're afraid that they're going and having bia with each of the women in the city. They don't even have time to open up the barrel of wine and do whatever it is and stir the barrel of wine a little bit. So they just certainly don't have time to have bia. Says the Gemara, no, not so. Some Rav Mari, livol yesh p'nai, lenasech chem p'nai. Depends how big the Yetzirah is, meaning the Yetzirah for bia is very, very strong. Therefore, these soldiers will make time to defile the women in the city. To be menasech chayin, where, I mean, the allure of being the rush that a guy must get from being menasech wine of Jewish people is not as big as the Yetzirah as the Yetzirah for bia. Therefore, for bia, he's going to make time. By being menasech chayin of the Jewish people, he's not going to make time. And therefore, even though we assume that the open barrels are kosher, because he didn't have time to be menasech chayin, we still must be afraid that they had bia with the women there. Rav Yitzchak Bar Elazar, Mishmei Dechizki, Amar, Kam Becharcham Shalosa Malchus, Kam Becharcham Shal Malchus Acheres. Nah, it depends whether we're dealing with a siege, with an army of the Malchus, or an army of another Malchus. And over here, there's a Machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, that Rashi says that Osa Malchus is Eina Rotza Lahashches as Bnei Ha'ir, that they don't want to destroy the Bnei Ha'ir, V'cheshechovesh, Ha'ir Asamoch L'memshalto Shomra V'hilo L'mas Oved. In other words, where it's an adjoining government that whose army has put the city under siege, we are not afraid that the soldiers defiled all the women, because it's in the best interest of the government whose army has put the city under siege to keep everything in order. That they want to keep all of the citizens loyal, and the way you keep citizens loyal is not by marauding and raping all of their women, and therefore they're not going to rape the women there. However, if it's Malchus Acheres, then they don't care about the loyalty, they don't care about the fealty of the people in the city, and they're going to go ahead and they're going to have their troops rape anybody and everybody, because that's what these Goyim do when their soldiers take a city under siege. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Osa Malchus is going to be nicer than a Malchus Acheres. Tosfa says just the opposite, that if it's Osa Malchus, they're going to take a lot of time, and they're going to take their merry time, they're going to be menasech yayin, they're going to be boal all the women, because it's their government that's in control. Whereas if it's Malchus Acheres, the Malchus Acheres, if it's the troops of the other Malchus, those troops of the other Malchus are going to be afraid that the troops of the governing Malchus are going to come, they're going to chase them out, and therefore they have to make quick work. They don't have time to be boal everybody in the city. So again, a machlokas Rashi Tosfos, whether Osa Malchus is better or worse from the perspective of the captive, but either way, it makes a difference. Says the Gemara, but Shalosa Malchus Nami, Efshar Delo Orek Chan Minayu, but by Osa Malchus itself, even, and now assuming like Rashi, even assuming that if it's the governing body, if it's the army of the governing government, that we're not afraid that they're going to defile all the women because the soldiers are going to be instructed to stay in line and to keep the citizens loyal and to not defile them. It's impossible that one of the soldiers wouldn't have eluded everybody else and would go and, you know, go and defile somebody in the city. No, we have groups of guards watching one another, and therefore we don't have to be afraid that one of the soldiers peeled off and went rogue and started raping people. But it's impossible for one of these guys not to doze, and therefore when one of them is dozing, one of the other soldiers could run off. And even though the government won't be happy, but he might go and he might violate a bunch of women there. Some Rebbe Levi could go into Mahadur Lalamasa, that they surround the city with Shushilta, with chains, Vakalva and dogs, Vagavza and spikes, Vavza and geese. Meaning that if anybody breaks the perimeter, if the soldiers break the perimeter in order to go into the city and in order to potentially defile women, it's going to make a racket. It's going to make a lot of noise. So I'm a Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda, Plikiba Rav Yudin Nesiyev Rabbanan, Chadam Rekam Becharcham Shalos HaMalchus, Kam Becharcham Shemalchus Acheres, Velo Kasha Levelo Midi. So one explains that it depends whether it's Osa Malchus, Malchus Acheres, and therefore he didn't have a Kasha at all, because when it's Osa Malchus, we're not afraid that the women are defiled. When it's Malchus Acheres, we are afraid the women are going to be defiled. Echad kashale kol hani umeshani kind of madri lemasa shushilta vekalba vegavza veavza, and the other one had all these questions and said, oh, the reason that we're not afraid that the women are defiled is not because it's osa malchus versus malchus acheres, it's because we know that they set up a perimeter, they set up a safety perimeter around the city, and we would have known if anybody had gotten into the city, and then we would have been afraid that he would have defiled the women. But because we know that nobody broke the perimeter, we don't have to be afraid. I'm Ravi Dibaravin, I'm a Rav Yitzchak Barashian, about six lines down in the medium-sized lines, that says the Gemara, Im yesh sham machboa achas maseles al kohenes kulan. If there is even a single hiding spot, it saves all of the kohanos there. It saves all of the kohen women there, because then it's possible that she was in the hiding spot. There is a machlokas whether if there's a hiding spot, that the fact that the hiding spot saves the women, is that only where the woman is towing that she was actually in the hiding spot? Or is that even if the woman isn't towing that she was in the hiding spot, even if the woman doesn't claim that she was in the hiding spot, still, if there was a hiding spot, mistama she was there, and therefore mistama she was not violated. So boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asks the question, Eina machzekes ela achas mahu. So let's say there is a hiding spot in the city, but the hiding spot is only big enough to accommodate one person at a time. So miyamrinan kol chada v'chada hainua. So when it comes to the disposition of each woman, whether each woman is going to be mutter or usher to her husband, do we say that the woman is usher because there was a hiding spot, but it was only big enough for one person? Or do we say, no, we're not going to usher the woman to her husband because maybe this woman was the woman who was in the hiding spot. And with each woman, we're going to say, no, maybe she was in the hiding spot, and therefore they're all going to be mutter to their husbands. Oh, dilmat lo arminan, or maybe we don't say it. The Ramban explains that if we're dealing with a situation where there's a hiding spot that is large enough for all of the women in the city, then it's going to be pashut that they're all going to be mutter, because over there it's plausible that they were all in the hiding spot. In other words, says the Ramban, the reason that the Gemara is struggling with what we do in a situation where there is a hiding spot that's big enough only for one person is because if the hiding spot was only big enough for one person, but each woman who comes before us and asks us for a psak, we're going to say that she's mutter to her husband, then it looks a little bit like a joke, because even though there was a hiding spot, come on, the hiding spot was big enough for only one woman. You're going to assume that each woman is the one who was in the hiding spot. Whereas if there was a hiding spot that was big enough for everybody, then you could easily be matur all the women to their husbands without it appearing to be a joke. But the question is, if there's a hiding spot only big enough for one woman, what's the deal? Do we assume that each woman is the one who was in the hiding spot or not? So says the Gemara, Maishna Mishnei Shvilin, but why is it different from two paths? The case of two paths, which is a famous case in Shas, the Gemara is going to tell us now. Echa Tamei Vecha Tar. One of them is Tamei, one of them is Tar, because there is a dead body buried across one of the roads, and it's impossible to traverse that road without stepping over the dead body, being mile on the dead body, and therefore becoming Tamei. Valach Bechad Meem, so you go on one path, Vasa Taros, and then you take care of your taros at the end of your journey. And your friend went on the other path and likewise dealt with his taros after his trip. So Rav Yehuda Amar, so we know that both these guys went on the road. One of them definitely went over the dead body because they both went on different paths. They both touched taros at the end, and now the question is, what do you do? So it says Rav Yehuda, im nishal zeb ibn asmo, zeb ibn asmo tahoros. If they both ask the shayla separately, am I tamei or am I tar, then they're both going to be tar, because over here we have a safek tuma. We have a safek tuma bersho sarabim. Safek tuma bersho sarabim is going to be tar, and because they're each asking separately, it's not going to look like such a big joke if we tell them both that their taharos are tar. Tosfos explains, yeah, both of their taharos are going to be tar, but you can't allow one person to eat the taharos that both of them were metaking, because even though the psak for them is that both of the taharos are tar, objectively, we know that one of these pieces of taharos is actually tamei, and there's tumah vadois, and therefore, the same person is not allowed to eat both pieces of meat. Again, the whole basis here is safek tuma b'rishus harabim being tar. And the safek tuma b'rishus harabim applies only to each individual when he is asking individually. But if you're going to have one guy come and eat both pieces of meat that each of these guys worked on, that's not a safek tuma. That's a vaday tuma. And therefore, says Tosfos, the same person is not allowed to eat both pieces of meat. However, says the Gemara, that's only if they ask separately. Shneim keechas, if they come and ask together, then tameos, then it's going to be tame. Rav Yossi amar benkach lo benkach tamein. Rav Yossi says, regardless, it's going to be tame. Ve'amar rava v'yisemer Rav Yochan b'vasachas devriya kol tamein. If they ask at the same time, then everybody agrees it's going to be tame. B'zeh chazeh devriya kol tahorin. If they come and ask separately, one after the other, then everybody agrees that each one is going to get a psak of tar because safek tama b'rishos harabim is tar. Lo nechleku ela b'bal lishoel ala v'yal chavero. It's only where one guy comes, it's one guy coming, but he comes and asks the shayla for him and also on behalf of his friend. So man mar medami le levasachas. One says, "Well, this is like them coming together, and therefore we're going to say tamei umar medami le lebazar chazeh." And the other one compares it to one who comes one after the other, and therefore the psak is that they're both going to be tar. V'achanami, also over here, kiven the shorile lekulu, since you're going to permit all of the women over here, kvas achas dami, it's like vas achas, but if it's like bas achas, how are we able to give a psak that they are all tar? We should be giving a psak that they're all tame, just like the case of shnei shvilin. Says the Gemara, hachi hashta, hasam vada ikatuma, hacha mi yemar de itme. Over there was definitely a dead body across one of the paths. So one of them was definitely tame. That's why we're struggling. If they both come together, how can we give them a psak of Torah? Because that flies in the face of logic. It flies in the face of the Metzias. However, over here, where each woman who comes in front of us, we're giving her a psak that she's tame. True, it's taking a leap of faith. But do we know for sure that anybody is tame? No, we don't know for sure that anybody's tame. And if we don't know for sure that anybody's tame, that's why we're able to tell them that they are all going to be tar. So boy Ravashi, Amra Lonich Basi Blonit Mesi Mao. So far we've been covering what if there's a hiding spot. Even if the hiding spot is only big enough for one woman, we're gonna assume that all the women were in the hiding spots, or that each woman was the one who was in the hiding spot. What if she says, I wasn't hidden, however, I was not defiled? So Mao. So mi amrinan Mali Lishaker. Do we say Mali Lishaker? What does she have? Why would she lie? She simply could have said that she was in the hiding spot. So even though she's saying she wasn't in the hiding spot, believe her when she says that she wasn't defiled. Odilma lo amrinan, or maybe we don't say the Mali Lishaker, because maybe we don't say Mali Lishaker. Says the Gemara, Maishna Miyahu Maisa. Why is it different than the following Maisa? Dahu Gavra, Dagrile Chamre Lechavre. There was a guy who rented a donkey to his friend. Amar Leilo Tezel, Borucha Denar Pekod. Don't go on Narpekod, Ika Maya, because the road is often flooded. Zil Borucha Denarash. Go instead on the road of Narash. Delaka Maya, because there's never water, there's never rainwater on that road. Beozel Iyo Borucha Denar Pekod. This Chacham decided he was going to go on the Narp code anyway. Umeis Chamra, the donkey died. So also Lakame the Rava. So he came before Rava, and the guy said, Amarle, in Baruch the Narp code Asli, Mio Lohavi Maya. True, I did go on the Narp code street, and that would have been negligent because the owner told me don't go there. But the reason that he told me not to go there was because he was afraid there was going to be flood water. But there really was no flood water there. So Amar Rava, Mali Lishaker. So Rava says, Mali Lishaker, Iboy Amar Baruch the Narp Shazli. I'm going to believe him because Miley Lashaka, I'm going to leave him when he says that there was no water on that derech, because he could have said he took the other road, and instead he conceded that he took this road, but he said there's no water, therefore we're going to believe him. V'yamalei Abaya, and Abaya said, Miley Lashaka, b'makom edem lo amina. No, but we don't say a Miley Lashaka, b'makom edem. What does it mean, b'makom edem? There were no edem, b'makom edem. Rashi explains, because always, this road was always flooded, and therefore, the guy is simply not believed to say that he was on that road, but it was not flooded, because the road is always flooded. So, achi hashta. So we're going to say also, so over here, the woman shouldn't be believed with a mali l'shaker, because, and therefore, if she says, lo nechbesi, lo nitmesi, we're not going to believe her. But says the Gemara, achi hashta, hasam vadei ika edim, diika maya, hacha vadei itmich shashu, b'makam shasha amrinan. Over here, we would say the Mali Lashaker, even though in that other case, we don't say a Mali Lashaker, because all we learn from the other case is that we don't say a Mali Lashaker, but Mokam Edim. Here, there's no Edim. It's no certainty that she was defiled. It's only a Chshash. And the same way we're going to save her from the Chshash if she tainas that she was in the hiding space, we're also going to believe her on account of the Mali Lashaker if she says that she wasn't in the hiding space, but she wasn't defiled, because that's a Mali Lashaker. It's not considered B'makam Edim. Says the Gemara Navai, if there's any aid that testifies that she was not defiled, even if it's an Eved or a Shifcha, the Eved or the Shifcha is going to be believed. That's a Kula by Shvuya. Says the Gemara, Vafilu Shifcha Dida Mehemna, even her own maidservant is going to be believed. For a mini, but I'll ask you a kasha, Lotus Yachirimo, that if a, this Rashi explains, this is dealing with a Shchimira who gives a get to his wife, because he doesn't want his wife to have to fall for Yibam or Chalitza to his brother. And the halacha is that after the get is given, the woman is not supposed to have yichud with her husband, because that is called a get yashon. It's a get yashon if the get's given, and there's yichud after the get. So says the Gemara, Lotus Yachirimo, after this get is given by the Shchimira, she should not have yichud with him, Ela Alpi Edim, except Alpi Edim. In other words, if you're having yichud al pi edim, obviously that's not yichud, because yichud means that you're alone. And if there are edim, then obviously it means that you're not alone. Meaning, don't be miyachid with this guy. Vafilu al pi eved, vafilu al pi shefcha. Even the aid that you are not miyachid is even, in other words, the aid of yichud here is even an eved or a shefcha. Chutz mi shefcha sa, except for her shefcha, memnesha liba gas b'shefcha sa. Because she's going to be very comfortable with her shifcha, and we're afraid that the shifcha is not going to testify truthfully. Samara papi b'shvuya hekilu. No, but by shvuya we were mekel, and therefore by shvuya we're going to accept testimony even of her shifcha. Rav Papa amar habashifcha bidida habashifcha didei. Now the distinction is by her shifcha we're not going to believe. But if his shifcha testifies, if his maidservant testifies that they weren't miyached, then we would believe her. B'shifcha didah. But are we not going to believe her own maidservant? Taktani ain adam meid al atzmo. Our Mishnah concludes that a person himself is not believed to testify on himself. Hashifcha dida mehemna. But the shifcha is believed. Even her own shifcha, even her own maidservant is believed. So shifcha nami kasma dami. No, her maidservant is like her, and therefore the maidservant, her own maidservant, is not going to be believed either. Ravashi amar hava b'shifcha dida. No, both cases we're talking about shifcha dida. Why, however, is the case of the get yashan of the yichud different from our case? Because v'shivcha mikzei chazia v'shaska. Because what a shivcha will do, her shivcha, out of loyalty to her master, is going to see something and keep silent. But they're not going to affirmatively give false testimony. So hasam by the get tishti kasa matirta. That if the maidservant simply keeps silent and doesn't say that they were miyached, it's going to matter the get. Then lo mehemna. Then we're not going to believe her, because by simply keeping silent, the shifcha is going to mislead us, and we're going to assume that the get's actually kosher. Hacha d'shtikasa osarta. However, over here, where if the maidservant remains silent and doesn't say anything about the woman not being defiled, she's going to be usher. In order to matur the master, the maidservant's going to have to affirmatively give testimony that she was not defiled. Therefore, Memna, therefore we're going to believe her, because Rashi explains that the maidservant is not going to affirmatively lie, and therefore we will believe the maidservant when she testifies. Says the Gemara, Hashtanami Asu Mishakra, but aren't we afraid that the maidservant is going to give Edus Sheker? Says the Gemara, Tarti Lo Avdi. No, we're not afraid that the woman, that we're not afraid that the woman is going to give Eidus Sheker. We're not afraid that she's going to affirmatively give false Eidus. So let's stop over here, because this is already the beginning of another sugya. So we'll talk here again about whether, about the fact we're gonna start by getting to the Mishnah, which is going to where we're gonna explore the difference between keeping silent versus affirmatively testifying falsely, and how somebody could be intimidated, or somebody who's untruthful would keep silent and withhold testimony, but withholding testimony is a totally different story than actually providing false testimony. And we'll continue on with this discussion tomorrow. God willing, everybody have a great day.